Hey, what is up, you guys? Welcome back to What's On Your Mind podcast. So before we start the episode, I want to know, how are you doing today? I hope you're doing fine. Well, not fine, great. I hope you're doing great. You know what I realized during this quarantine time is that you can find anything on Google, literally anything. I learned how to cook incredible meals, I would say. And it's really good. So I hope you're doing something like that too during this quarantine. So I've seen a lot of bingos on Instagram of things you can do during quarantine and all of that fun stuff. So I hope you're doing fine. And if there's anything I can do, please just reach out to me and I love to help. So in today's episode, we're talking about trusting the process. You probably see it from the title. But a couple of weeks ago, I put up a poll on my Instagram asking which topic should I do first, which is trusting the process or finding your why. And a lot of you guys picked trusting the process. So that's what I'm doing right now. And that's just a reminder for you. So if you don't follow me on Instagram at MichelleCR or at What's On Your Mind podcast, you totally should, because I do a lot of polls over there. And you just want to, you know, be up to date to that. All right, then without further ado, let's just get into the episode. Welcome to What's On Your Mind podcast with me, Michelle. Here we're going to talk about everything that's on your mind, things that are keeping you up at 2 a.m. in the morning, or random thoughts that you're having when you're in the shower. You will laugh or cry, but at least it's spoken and it's not just buried inside your mind. Hey guys, what's up? How's it going? How are you today? I am so sore. So a couple of days ago, I ran for the first time in my life. No, I ran for the first time in 7 months, I would say. The last time I ran was September of last year. So you do the math. But anyway, I've been trying to stay active and stay productive in this whole time of quarantine. And I'm trying to go back to running. There's a time in my life when I don't hate running. Well, not that I love it, but at least I don't hate it. But right now, I am trying to get back into it. So I'm doing a mile a day for 30 days. Hopefully, I can finish the challenge. I started on Wednesday, which is a couple of days ago. So I ran a mile then. I ran a mile yesterday. I will run 1 mile today. Anyway, now I say it out loud and I say on the podcast, I will have to finish it, right? All right. Anyway, grab your coffee or tea or whatever you're drinking or whatever you like to drink. That's what I meant. Not drinking as in like alcohol beverage. But if you want to drink alcohol beverage, you can too. You know what? Do whatever you want. I am rambling right now. I have my tea right here with me. But I want you guys to get cozy, because this episode, the one that we're going to talk about, is a little bit hard to hear. And for me personally, it's going to be the hardest one to talk about, I feel like, because it's the hardest one to implement in, you know, our daily life. So from the title, you can probably already know that we're going to talk about trusting the process today. A couple weeks ago, I would say, I posted a poll of topics, which is like talking about trusting the process or finding your why, which I will talk about in the future, but I just don't know which one to start first. So if you don't follow me on Instagram at MichelleCR or at What's On Your Mind podcast, you guys totally should, because I will post a lot of things regarding like what topics and stuff like that. You should totally follow me on that. But anyway, trusting the process. There is really no hidden message or anything behind it. I think we all know what that means, but it's really hard to do, right? To trust the process means that we have to have faith and to trust that things will work out at the end, you know? Like, things will work out in your favor. And to completely trust the process means that you don't need to know the 5 W's and 1 H kind of thing. You know, the what, why, where, when, how, all of the things. They don't need to know how things will unfold, but simply to be present, to experience the beautiful, divine plan that is out there for you. I know it's easier said than done, because I've been there with you. There is time in my life when I just freshly graduated from college and I thought that I would move to Columbus, Ohio and start a life there. The story behind it was, I graduated from UNH with my bachelor degree back in 2016, right? And just like every other graduate there, I was so anxious about my future. I didn't have a job lined up for me. I didn't have a job waiting for me after graduation. Although I sent out like tens and tens or even like 100 resume out there, but I didn't get anything back from it. I had no internship experience. I didn't have work history like within my field of study, which is biochemistry, is the major that I took. I didn't have any of that. And it's a little bit harder when you don't have any experience to get a job for your first job. So I went into a few open house interviews, which is pretty scary if you've never been. So you just walk in into a room of people and talk about your experiences. But again, my struggle is I don't have any experiences working in that field. A little bit harder to find a company that would take a chance on me, you know? And I also went into round robin's interviews. If you don't know round robin interview, it's like speed dating. So there are like multiple different candidates, maybe like 10 or 20 people, and they sit down separately in a big room. And there are 10 to 20 tables with a couple of chairs per table. And you sit on one side of the table, the interviewer will sit on the other side of the table, and you just talk. They're gonna ask you a question, you're gonna ask questions, you're just gonna have a conversation within 15 minutes. I think it's 15 minutes per person. And then there is a bell. So once the bell rings, the 15 minutes is up, the interviewer will move to the next table interviewing another candidate. So imagine how hard it is to be memorable or to stand out if you don't have a work history in the field. I mean, I have work history, but I work at Dunkin' Donuts, so I don't really have anything I can say to be memorable or to stand out. So then they remember you and they will call you later on for another interview or something like that. Okay, anyway, I just graduated. And knowing myself, I was so embarrassed that I didn't have a job waiting for me. I worried what people would say and what people would think because I graduated of college and I still work at Dunkin' Donuts. So because I was so worried about what people will say or think, I started to look for alternative. I got myself admitted to an online program. It's an online master program from The Ohio State University. And in my head, if I say to people that I have an online program right now that I'm doing, that I'm still in school, that I'm getting my master's degree, they really won't question me, you know? So I was like, okay, this is great. This can be an excuse while I still work at Dunkin', you know, while I'm looking for a real job. That's what I think, at least. 4 months later, which was October, no, 5 months, because I graduated in May and this time was October 2016. I still work at Dunkin' Donuts. I still had no real job, quote unquote, here. And I started to feel hopeless and I was like, okay, well, this is so sad. And I mean, I can use my master program as an excuse, but deep down, I know that it's only an excuse. Deep down, I know I'm still embarrassed that I still have no real job. I felt hopeless and I was like, okay, well, I feel like maybe I need a vacation. I love to travel. That's why I was like, maybe I need to go somewhere. I started to look for cheap tickets. And funny enough, there was a cheap ticket to go to Columbus, Ohio. And I was like, well, why not go there? Because I finally can check the school I'm in. So I booked the ticket and I was so excited because, you know, I can finally go on vacation, clear out my mind, not thinking about anything, and, you know, just relax, right? I just needed to get out of the town. So I booked the ticket, and later that day, I got an email from the OSU program coordinator about a job posting. And I was like, yeah, why not? Why not try to apply? So I applied, I sent my resume, and sent my cover letter. And then I didn't really think about it because at this point I was hopeless because every single time I applied, I never got anything back. And it made me feel like I don't want to put my hopes too high because I didn't want my expectation to be too high and then I'll get hurt at the end. Because, you know, over a period of time of 4 months, no, 5 months of getting rejected or not hearing anything back, that will happen to you. So a week after I applied, I got an email about an on-site interview. And surprise, surprise, they wanted me to come on the day that I already booked my ticket, which is like perfect, right? So I was so shocked and happy, and I thought that this might be a sign that this job is for me because I booked the ticket before I know that I will have an interview, which was why I thought that this job is for me. And this might be a sign that this job is meant for me. So I studied and prepared for the job. I researched everything I need to know about the program, not the program, about the job, the company itself. So I want to be professional. And thankfully, I had a great relationship with my manager at Dunkin' Donuts when I had no car, she picked me up from the bus station so I can go to work. And she let me work with whatever schedule I have, which is so great. So when I told her that I'm going to Ohio, I told her that I'm going to have a job interview. She was okay with it. I mean, I think she was expecting me to leave once I graduated anyway. So the fact that I was still there after 5 months after graduation, she was pretty shocked. But anyway, I went to Ohio, and on the first day I was there, which was a Thursday, I went to that interview. The interview went super well. I mean, I was so happy about how everything went through. At the end of the interview, the interviewer, let's call him Chris here because it's easier to tell a story when we know the name. Okay, Chris asked me, when can I start? And I told him, well, I live in New Hampshire now, and I need 2 weeks to give my current employer notice, you know, like giving 2 weeks notice is normally what is acceptable. So I will need 2 weeks notice to give to my current employer and to gather, you know, my stuff. And Chris was like, well, could you make that a week maybe? Like, because we really need a new person here. And I was like, yeah, that's fine, no problem. Because I was so desperate, you know, I really want this job. I just don't want to work at Dunkin' Donuts anymore. I really want to use my degree. So we shook hands, and then he gave me a tour of the office, which is great. And he told me that he would give me the offer letter on Monday because he had to go through a conference on Friday and the weekend and blah, blah, blah. So he said Monday will be perfect. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. No worries. Monday is great. I mean, I was ecstatic. I was so happy, but I tried to hide it, you know, to be professional. And I said, yeah, well, great. Looking forward to it. And I left the office, and then I sent messages to my parents because I was so happy I couldn't contain it. They called me right away. Apparently, they were waiting for me, and they told me congratulations. They told me to start looking for an apartment because, you know, I only have a week to pretty much gather my life together to move my life from New Hampshire to Columbus, Ohio. So I was like, okay, yeah, you're right. So I drove around looking for apartments and went to a few open houses. I started Googling moving companies or how much would it cost for me to move my mobile home, how long it'll take for me to drive, and all of that kind of stuff. You know, like moving is hard. I started making plans and I called my manager at Dunkin' Donuts and shared the good news / bad news for her. I told her I got the job and I'm sorry that I couldn't give her a proper 2 weeks notice because they wanted me to start in a week. And this week, I will have to pretty much gather my life together and move it to Ohio, which means that on the phone, I told her that I quit my job. She was a little bit disappointed, but she understood it. She was so nice to me. And at the end, she was happy for me, she said. So I went back to New Hampshire on Sunday morning. And because I was so excited, I went straight from the airport to the church to see my friends and share the good news, you know. I told them that I'm moving to Ohio in a week and this is gonna be the goodbye, you know. I hugged a few people, saying goodbyes to a few people. Everything was great and everybody was happy. I was happy too. And then Monday came around and I haven't gotten the offer letter yet. I waited until the end of the day, and then I emailed Chris asking about the offer letter. I didn't hear back from him, and then I started to get so anxious. Tuesday rolled in, and around midday, Chris emailed me back. I still saved the email, you guys. You don't believe me? I can prove it to you. I still save it, and this was 2016, 4 years ago, and I still save this email because it's a reminder for me. And Chris's email says, "Hi, Michelle. I apologize for the delay on our end. Graham and I both were at a research conference from Friday to Sunday. After discussing the position further, we feel that you are overqualified for the recruitment aspect of the job and feel that you would be a better fit in a purely clinical position. Unfortunately, this company, blank, cannot offer you a purely clinical role. Best of luck in the future, Chris." Imagine having that email, you guys. That email broke my heart. I mean, what am I supposed to do? I quit my job for this. I told everyone that I'm leaving. It's just, so embarrassing. It's really hard to trust the process when everything seems like it's not working. For a few weeks, I felt like that. I felt like maybe I was just dumb. Maybe I was stupid that people don't want me. Nobody, not a single company, wanted to take a chance on me. I felt like defeated. I was thinking maybe if I just go back to Dunkin', I can get an income. At least I can, you know, support myself. And my parents told me no. They said to just focus on looking for a job and focus on getting my schoolwork done. And I decided to listen to them. And out of nowhere, sometime in November, I got a random phone call from a recruiter. I don't normally pick up a phone from a number that I don't know, but I don't know why that day I pick up the phone. So I pick up the phone and this recruiter called me. She said that she found me on LinkedIn and she said that there is a job that maybe I'll be interested in and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, for sure, sign me up because I really need a job at that time. This recruiter set me up with an interview with a biotech company called Lonza. I applied there before. I probably sent 20 resumes there for the 20 different job posting they have. And I actually interviewed there before. Remember that round robin interview that I was talking to you about? That one was for Lonza. So I was excited about this interview. I mean, I tried to get into this company before. And now that I have the opportunity to interview there again, I don't want to disappoint. You know, I did my research again about the company, prepare myself for the interview, and then I went to the interview. The interview was 2.5 hours long, about 5 people for 30 minutes each. But I feel like I aced that interview. I was so happy about how the interview went, and then I went home. Later on that day, the recruiter called me back. She said that Lonza wanted to hire me, and whatever I said in the interview really impressed them, and then they want to offer me a full-time position instead of a contract one. By the time I went in, honestly, I had no idea this position was a third shift, which is what people call a graveyard shift. So I worked Sunday to Wednesday from 8:30 p.m. to 7 a.m. So I would go in at night at 8:30 p.m. and then I go home 7 in the morning the next day. Not the dream job I would hope for, but I took it because I don't have any other option and I really want to have a job at that point. But because of this job and what happened to the job in Ohio, I would get to my next job, which is at Qiagen. So I work at Qiagen. I was making friends. I felt so comfortable over there. My team was very strong. We had a great chemistry within the team. Everyone got along with everyone. It was awesome. I liked my job and it was just great. And then 1 year and 7 months later, close to 2 years, in October, we got the news that they're shutting down the program that we're in. We had a month to find a job. And I thought to myself, are you serious? I mean, can I just take a break here? I just finally found my people. I just finally found the job that I really like, a job that doesn't require me to be working a graveyard shift. And I don't know, I just feel like, why did I have to go through this again? Can I just take a break, please? With only 1 month to find a job, I went all out. I went all in. I started to send out all of my resumes pretty much the night I got the news that we're all getting laid off. I had to go through phone interviews every day, pretty much, sometimes 2 a day. And then the week after, I will have to go to 2 on-site interviews per week until I landed my current job right now. Because of my job at Qiagen, I got this job that I'm currently working at. A job with the title of scientist, which is mind-blowing for me. Because normally, to be a scientist, you either have to be in the industry for 10 to 20 years, or you have to have a PhD. I have neither of them. So to have a job with a scientist title, it was honestly unexpected for sure. This job pays more and this job allows me to be financially stable. And most importantly, this job gives me the opportunity to grow as a person, as a researcher, a scientist, and to advance my career. And I can say at the end that it'll all work out. From the moment that I got rejected from a lot of interviews, I was jobless, and then I got an interview in Ohio. I thought I got the job, and then I got rejected with quote-unquote overqualified for the job. And then I had to work the overnight shift. And then I finally got a job that I really like, and then I got laid off. Until right now, I got a job that I thought I wouldn't get in another 5 years. It's all so crazy, but at the end, it all worked out. Wow, okay, I didn't mean to talk for that long about my struggle finding my first job after graduation. I don't know about you, but I always want to know the ending of any story. If I start watching a show in Netflix, I always have to finish it because I have to see how the ending is. I will get upset if a show stops in the middle of seasons or if a show stops in the middle of a storyline and there is no ending. I will get so upset and so disappointed, you know? I just want to know the ending. Is that too much to ask? If only I could fast forward life too, right? If only I could fast forward to now, back then when I felt crushed or I felt like I'm worthless or when I felt like I didn't have any future because I didn't have any job because there's no company that would take a chance on me because I quote unquote overqualified for the job. If only I could fast forward until now. Because it'll be nice to see how life turns out. It'll be nice to see that all the struggle was temporary. But thinking like that, I would not be present. I would not be able to talk about my struggle. I would not be able to share this story with you guys. In all seriousness, let's take a minute here. Let's think about this for a second. Do you think that a writer would write their ending first and then fill in the gaps in between? I don't think so. I think when a writer writes, they start from the beginning and then they write and write and write until it comes to the end. They don't start from the end and then go backwards and then fill in the gaps. Or sometimes we like to label ourselves, but when we label ourselves, we put limit on ourselves. Like I said earlier this episode, I haven't run in so long. I used to say that I'm just not a runner. I can't run. And then I think about it. Why can I not run? When I put a label on myself saying that I'm not a runner, I'm limiting myself from even trying it out. I don't run because I don't try to run. I don't know what labels you put on yourself, but be aware of that. Be aware that when you put a label on you, you limit yourself. Again, think about this. Do you think that a writer would write their title first before they're writing their book? I don't think so. What do you think would happen if a writer decides to write the title first? They would limit themselves of what they're gonna write because they already put the title on it. Same with us. Do not put a title or a label on yourself because you're pretty much writing your story right now. You're writing up your story of your life every single day. So don't put a title on it first and don't write the end before you write the beginning. Okay, if we think about it or if we dig a little deeper, what is stopping us to trust the process? Fear. That four-letter word is the answer. It might be fear of the future, fear of the unknown, fear of failure, fear of uncertainty. A lot of people don't like to trust the process because they're afraid that the path that they're on doesn't end up to be where they want to be. Can you relate to that? Because that pretty much sums up why I feel like I like to say that I'm a little control freak. Because I want to have all the control that I can have, you know? I want to have the control of how the outcome is going to be. I know I've been saying in the previous episodes, pretty much throughout the whole podcast, that you are in control. But I think I should have been more specific. There are two things in this world that you have complete control over. Those two things are your attitude and your effort. The rest, it's beyond your control. The opinions of others, you cannot control that. The future, you absolutely cannot control that. You don't know what's going to happen in the future. You cannot control what's going to come up in your future unannounced. The pandemic we're in right now, the COVID-19 situation. Nothing we can control, but our attitude on staying positive and our efforts in helping to limit the spread, those things we can control. By letting go of things that we cannot control, this will help us trust the process that we're in. If you haven't listened to a couple episodes ago, I think it was episode number 6, with being present and we're talking about time, you guys totally should listen to it because it kind of goes hand in hand with the point that I'm about to make here. embrace the process. Let me give you a real illustration here. Say Nancy starts going to the gym. She's committed to lose some weight or build some muscle or whatever she wants to do. But a week goes by or 2 weeks go by, she doesn't get the result fast enough as she would like. And because she doesn't get to see the result right away, she gets discouraged and give up altogether. I definitely have been Nancy before. I am guilty of that too. We like to look forward. We like to plan ahead and obsess with the end result. And we forget about the small victories we achieve. We tend to forget about the small wins. But actually, if you think about it, it's actually the small wins that transform into big successes. When was the last time you tell yourself, I am so proud of you and how much you have accomplished in this period of time? Because I struggle with this too. I like to achieve big goals and I don't appreciate the small wins that I get along the way. Every single time I achieve something small, I feel like, oh, I could have done better. But I keep pushing myself to try to appreciate the small things. I have this little frame hung up on my living room wall that says grateful for the small things, the big things, and everything in the middle. I put that on my living room so that every morning when I get out of my bed, I walk to my living room and I see that. And it reminds me to be thankful for everything, not just the big things, but the small things and the not so big things. Sometimes we take that for granted. With the social distancing or physical distancing, whatever you call it, I'm sure you've read a lot of memes like this one. Oh, I should have hugged my bros a little longer the last time I saw him. Or would have hugged the homies a little tighter if I knew that it'll be the last one. Right? A friend of mine actually texted me a couple days ago saying, I'm sorry I took your hugs for granted. I don't know if he was being sarcastic or not, but I appreciate that text because I am such a hugger. Anyway, once this is all over, I am going to give all of my friends a hug for sure. But for now, let's just take a quick 2 seconds to take a deep breath and be grateful for that air that you just inhaled. All right, I just want to wrap it up here. I feel like I've been talking for a while. But to trust the process doesn't mean that you have to give up your hope or to stop planning the future. But to trust the process means that we have to learn how to let go of control. We have to learn how to believe in ourselves. And we practice our faith that everything that happens in our life is for us and not to us. We have to reframe our mindset and change our perspective of failures. Because there's no such things as failures. It's all part of the lessons and part of our stories that we're writing. I just want to end with this quote that is on my mug. It says that, slow down, calm down, don't worry, don't hurry, trust the process. So that is all I get for you guys today. What do you think? Let me know what you think. You know the drill. Send me a DM on Instagram at MichelleECR or at What's On Your Mind podcast. Also, please rate and review this podcast on Apple Podcasts so that people can find this podcast too, and hopefully this podcast can help them too. Well, you guys know the drill. Subscribe on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcast so you don't miss out on next week's episode. It's gonna be a good one, so you don't wanna miss out on that, right? All right, now enjoy your day. I hope you have a great day, and I'll catch you guys next week. Bye.